KPI.org. Minnesota is home to vibrant, resilient American Indian communities. Minneapolis and St. Paul are located in the homelands of Dakota people. The American Indian movement started right here in Minneapolis, and indigenous people from all across Turtle Island call this place our home. The Twin Cities continues to be an important center of American Indian arts, culture, and politics. And KFAI Fresh Air Radio is proud to celebrate American Indian Month 2020. Tune in on Mondays 2 to 4 p.m. and Saturdays 3 to 5 p.m. to hear special programming on topics related to American Indian art, history, and culture all throughout the month of May. If you're on Facebook, visit American Indian Month on KFAI page and like it for updates on news and on-air events.
Welcome to a special technology-based version of American Indian Month kickoff. I'm here joined with Robert Pilot.
Hey, yeah.
Beverly Bushyhead.
Hey.
Robert Lilligren.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. And We're all excited to be here, even though during this COVID-19 reality, that means we're not all in the same studio. Instead, we are doing this remotely. So thanks to the technicians at KFAI for helping us figure this out. Last year, this time, if you all remember, we were running around finding people to interview and enjoying ourselves. I guess you all had a chance to get out to the parade, and then I was a part of the festivities at the American Indian Center. And joining us now, we have Sherry Reimers. Did I pronounce your name correctly, Sherry?
Sherry Reimers. You hear me?
I can. Can see you too.
Good. Yes. Good morning. Or it's good afternoon, actually.
So there's a little in the background. I don't know if that's television or something picking up that.
I'm gonna find out.
Okay. Should we?
You can mute her mic too if you'd like.
That might be.
I'm excited to be here, and I just miss Bev because we did the parade together of 2 hours of parade action, live action, and that was probably the most fun I had on Indian Day being an Indian.
That was super fun. We met a lot and talked with a lot of people. It was really awesome. And then I heard some of our questions were repeated out in public at different venues, and that's awesome to hear too.
They stole it from you. I know that. You know, those Indians steal stuff.
So yeah, I think what we'll do moving forward, if everyone, when you talk, if you could just kind of control your own, you know, mute on and off, and that should help us kind of maintain that clean signal. So yeah, we were all very busy a year ago now, and I know NACD and other organizations, we were all involved. And no, Sherry, I haven't met you before, but I heard about the work that you do in the community, and we were all involved, and it's a new reality. So now we're trying to figure out how to still enjoy and recognize, you know, the contributions of American Indian people and communities here in the Twin Cities and statewide. And I think that's why we all get together today to just talk about it, talk about what we'd be doing or what American Indian Month means to us collectively and as individuals.
Well, I know last year we went 18 hours on KFAI, and it was awesome. And when I was leaving the parade, I was heading back home. I heard your show, Jamie, and you were rocking some Native artists, and it was a good thing. And I'm looking forward to listening to your show again this week. I'm just happy to see everyone. Sherry, I've known you since I was a little boy, and it's really always good to see you and see how hard you work and the updates that you send out to Indian Country. I just want to say Pini Gigi to you and your organization that you work with.
Miigwech, Robert. Yeah, we've known each other since we were probably 10 or 12 years old, honestly. Marching around at Marshall Field.
That's right. And that's so funny, too. There's a Bob Blake, Bill Blake connection there, too, that I didn't know about until later.
Yeah. And so I knew him when he, not only through what we did in the summers, sounds silly, guys, we're kind of geeks. We were in a drum and bugle corps. And I was a rifle. It was in the color guard. And Robert was in the horn line. And Bill Blake, Officer Bill Blake, who is now, I mean, he's journeyed on, was the, he was in the horn line too, wasn't he? Yeah. So I came to know him later in later years in my work when he was doing work with the gang task force. Yeah.
And then his brother does a solar bear now, which is really interesting. You know, Robert Blake from Red Lake.
Yeah. Yeah, he just ran for office too, I think, or tried, attempted.
Yeah, city council here in St. Paul, yeah. And he's got a couple solar things going on, and it's probably put a little bit on hold, but he's really proud of him. He's like 10 years younger of us, younger than us. We never met him. He was a little baby when we were young. So it's fun to see and all the connections. And there's a few other Indians out there that were in Drum and Bugle Corps with us too.
Was that attached to a school?
Wow, yeah.
Does that mean, was it community? How was that organized?
Well, you probably know more about the St. Paul Scouts. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a Boy Scout organization, but there's community stuff. There was community organizations in almost every block sponsored by churches and Boy Scouts. Back in those days, I think they were out there because the military during World War One had all these extra bugles and they handed them out to organizations. And it's just was a weird thing. And it's just so weird that Sherry and I know each other from that. And your brother and sister, too. It's just your brother.
Family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I really think that's one thing that Native people have in common is the adaptability, the ability to take things that seem surplus and do something with it. Were there a lot of Natives in the Drum and Bugle Corps? I never heard of it.
No.
I mean, okay, so...
I think that's another show should we do, because we could talk for hours about that. And I want to talk COVID-19 and what the Natives are doing. And I was just reminiscing with Sherry because it warms my heart when I see you and your family, because we've known each other for so long. But yeah, it really does.
So yeah. So Robert Lilligren, who, you know, I've known Robert for a long time. Yeah. And I found out recently that I think it was your grandfather, a journalist or involved in broadcast journalism. At some point,
that's my dad.
Is that your dad?
Yeah, yeah. To young whippersnappers, it might seem like he's a grandfather, but no, that was my dad, Chuck Lilligren.
Yeah.
He was an on-air personality. He was on the radio for years. So sort of the centerpiece of his career was at WCCO Radio 830, Good Neighbor to the Great Northwest, where he was on for almost 25 years there, primarily as the agricultural director. But he really took his Native identity into spaces where there wasn't Native identity at the time. And so something of a, you know, door opener, glass ceiling crasher kind of guy.
Cool. He also got really involved in the language after his retirement, teaching the language. And I remember waking up to Chuck Lilligren, the CCO Ag Report, every morning as a youngster.
Yeah, you have to be about our age, Robert, to remember that. Younger kids don't remember that, but he did. He was involved in a couple of different language tables. He would come down. We grew up in the North Metro in Northern Anoka County. My mom would make a big kettle of soup, and he'd come down a couple of nights a week to language tables. And people in the community still, surprisingly young people, will come up and say, oh, I was at language table with your dad. He was such a good teacher. And he was so modest about his abilities, but he was a good Ojibwe speaker.
Bungie had to go on a Shinabim. That's my response. My Ojibwe is not so good. So everyone here today, we're taking this opportunity to visit with each other in the absence of American Indian Month programming that would be going on. So maybe we could start out, I don't know that we all officially introduced ourselves and what we do in the community, but maybe we should take a moment for that. And just trying to share some of, you know, this experience with other folks that are going through this with us in this pandemic era. But a lot of organizations are still doing work behind the scenes, even, you know, while they practice social distancing and good hygiene methods. Maybe we could start with you, Robert Lilligren, since, you know, we ended out, and then we'll just go back the other way.
So I'm Robert Lilligren. I am a citizen of the White Earth Ojibwe Nation, and I am CEO of the Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, in South Minneapolis. NACDI, amongst other things, is the keeper of the community vision of an American Indian cultural corridor on East Franklin. That's a Native-led, Native-driven economic engine for our people. I'm also chair of the Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors, or MUD, which is a collection of some three dozen Native organizations that's been around for about 50 years and has, through MUD, been quite active in the COVID response, especially around issues of our unsheltered relatives.
Miigwech. Let's see. Beverly, do you want to share a little bit of your background for folks out there? Probably everybody knows you.
Sure. I don't know. Beverly Bushyhead, I'm Eastern Cherokee. So in my language, nobody will understand it. It's not Ojibwe, but I did study Ojibwe at Augsburg for 4 years. In my language, Shio Kwekuli Unudati Dagwadoa. And it means my name is Beverly Bushyhead. I'm a proud member of the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians. I grew up on a reservation in Southeast United States in North Carolina. And one of the reasons I was chosen to be on the Urban Indian Advisory Board is because that group represents natives who may or may not be Minnesota tribal citizens, but who are native within the boundaries of Minnesota. And they're not necessarily represented by tribes because they're not housed on tribal lands, but they're somewhere within Minnesota boundaries. And so I'm the chair of that. And there's some really great leaders on that board. Dr. Kate Bean, who, you know, her great works at Minnesota Historical Society, her family has been instrumental in some of the naming and some of the legacy kind of around geography in around the Twin Cities and in the state. Jason Loons, he's in Duluth. He represents I never get this right. It's AFSCME, but it's the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal employees. Whew, I got it right. And so he's teaching his son. His son is 10. He's taking him. He said that he is active on the 1854 and 1837 treaty hunting and fishing rights. So he's raising him in a good way. Charlene Day Castro is at the Indian Child Welfare Act Advisory Program, some kind of program with New Beginnings, Women's Life Net, and New Beginnings, Bright Beginnings at the Minnesota Indian Center. And John Day, this is his third round being on the board. He was chair twice, I believe. And so he's got a lot of history that he brings to it. He is in retirement, but that man works harder than any retired person I know. So he's on the board as well. And we want to thank the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council for supporting us. It's a volunteer board. We mostly communicate with tribes who have appointed us through the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council. What else? What did I leave out? Jamie's looking at me like, I don't
know. I think that was a pretty good share there. And I know we run, our paths cross often. Zungi Gabo and Dishnikas, Magizi Nandude, Mississi, Zage Ingning, Nandonjaba. From Mille Lacs, Jamie Edwards do government affairs, but also have a radio show and another moniker I go by, JSE the Navigator, which is how I met some of the folks out here in Radio Land and the good work that we're doing in our own creative endeavors. Beverly has a great show. Is it Messages from the Drum, which I just love that name. And we've talked about doing some collaborative work, and I do also with Robert Pilot as well, who I'm going to go and ask next to kind of share what you got going on, Robert.
Well, Pini Gigi, Ahu Ho-Chunk Raja, Wakunja Hade, Inde Yenga. My name's Distant Thunder, and I said that in Ho-Chunk, and I'm from God's country, Creator's country. I'm a high school teacher. I have an all-Native homeroom, and of course, we're not in school right now. I fought for that in St. Paul Public Schools. And so I start out with ninth graders, about 20 ninth graders, and then they go through the process at Harding High School in St. Paul. And I have I have three radio shows going on. One's Pilot's Progressive Party, which is on Wednesdays. And then I have Native Roots Radio, which I started out with. That's 2 hours on Saturday. And everybody but Sherry's been on that show. And Robert was on last week. And then I also do a live symposium of natives across the country, which has really picked up steam. We've had we had Madonna on last night, and it was a beautiful thing. Her knowledge and being an old gangster granny, she had the stories, and 80 years old and still sharp. And so that's live on Facebook, and that's been traveling around Indian country. And so I've been busier now than I ever have been, but I think we need to get the word out. And I think, so I've been really blessed to have that opportunity and know you true warriors out there that I'm just a conduit that gets knowledge out there. I don't know anything. I'm just a conduit to get good things and good messages out there. And Sherry, you got to come on my show. So yeah, that's what, and I'm happy to be here, and I really appreciate you having me on, and you know, talk a little COVID, talk a little bit about Indian Month, even though Indian Month is every month for me, but we do like to celebrate, and I really miss celebrating, and I really miss everybody running into everybody at powwows and stuff, or just at the coffee shop on Franklin, or I really, really, really miss that, and this Tuesday, we're going to do some online bingo, and we're going to have people sign up. Yeah, and so we're doing that through their Facebook page, and then we're going to be doing some trivia too, where people can. The Hennepin County Franklin Avenue has given us some donations to give out to people that are winning the trivia and winning the bingo. So I think we'll have up to 50 the first night and see how that goes, and then open it up to 100 people playing bingo, and me and Emma Needham will be doing the calling, and hopefully there won't be a fight or anything about the bingo.
Probably there will be. So Sherry, can you share a little bit about your background and what Indian Month means to you or missing out on it?
Bonjour. Nindanas Nisikwe. My name comes from my great uncle, my grandpa Joe Bush. I'm a member of the White Earth Nation of Ojibwe Bear Clan from the Pine Point community. I am the Government and Community Relations Director for Inda Young Center in St. Paul. We're a homeless youth shelter. We provide transitional living, and we also provide supportive housing for youth ages 21 through 24. 18 through 24, I'm sorry. And then my other side time job is the chair for the St. Paul Indians in Action. And we work really hard to address the socioeconomic conditions in the St. Paul community and the East Metro area, and work really hard on systems advocacy, policy development, and community participation. So we have a lot of really cool projects going on around the community on that. But so we keep busy, and we do a lot of work together with Robert. He and I, through this COVID experience, have been on a lot of meetings together over the last almost 2 months now. I can't even believe it. Before this COVID, Robert, I mean, we talk about it's kind of a lonely place to be right now. And, you know, Inda Young Center, unfortunately, was kind of the last big hurrah that we had in our community, one of the last powwow, first powwow of the season and the last powwow of this season, which is really, I mean, happy but sad about that. So that's a little bit about me and what I do in the East Metro.
All right, very good. Thank you for sharing, Sherry. It's good to meet you here. I heard about you, and I will have to connect with you at some point in the future in person. Yeah. Once we can, you know, don't have to do the social distancing, can get back to some kind of normalcy, which doesn't seem like is going to happen anytime soon. I know we're all, I don't know how you all feel, you know, but I'm busier than I was, you know, you could argue, you know, before the pandemic set in. So I'm averaging about 4 to 6 conference calls per day, depending. And then there's also, you know, the other volunteer work that we do. And, you know, some of that work for me is on the board of KFAI as well as a program host. So I'm busy. And that's not a bad thing, but, you know, there are a lot of challenges. And I think thus far, this pandemic hasn't really impacting our community, but we, you know, the numbers are kind of low, but I think in some respects it's also not a true representation of the potential or the, maybe, you know, we don't really understand how many folks are possibly infected by this. So anyway, and I know you all it's like the all day 24-hour COVID channel in your life and the work that you're doing. I know that's how it's been for me, getting updates from a variety of folks, and something normal would be really cool. So
I'm getting really, really good at Zoom now. You know, I got the background going on. I just want to say too that we started, I was asked to start American Indian Movement St. Paul chapter by the elders. And so we've been really working hard on that. And so it'll be good to work with Sherry on some stuff and of course, Robert. I'm just excited. I don't know how many times I can say this. I miss all you so much to see you. I had Madonna on last night and Winona LaDuke got on, and she's on the symposium every week. And it was a beautiful thing to see an 80-year-old woman get excited to see someone that she's known since she was 18 years old. And it was just, it really warmed my heart. And so this technology, Zoom and the FaceTime and things have really, really helped us as a community. I mean, the thing that's going on with social distance, powwow's got over 180,000 people on there. So natives are resilient, and we find a way to get the smoke signals out and talk to each other. So it's really been a heartwarming experience for me to see a lot of that going on. What do you think, Bev? You've been doing a lot of watching and in meetings too, right?
Yeah, you know, I really do think that. I think that one of the things that makes Native people so resilient is that our ability to adapt to situations and environments that we did not create or choose. And so this is not new for us in a way to have something thrust upon us that then we have to figure out how can we still thrive? How can we survive? How can we continue to care about our traditions and culture or a different method? I mean, it's one of the reasons why we have powwows on July 4th, because we figured out what we had to do to make it so that we were allowed within a system that did not welcome us and our traditions in a way. Does that make sense?
I mean,
I think we're brilliant in many ways, but I have some concerns. Like you're the teacher, Robert. But it makes me wonder, is everybody able to get on Zoom? Who isn't? You know, I kind of wonder about that. And I got a small grant with a group that I work with on community research. And my total goal became how to help our community own and run our own research, because it's going to be years that this is being researched and they're going to ask a lot of questions. And we're pretty sick of being poked and prodded by outside groups that come in and then get what they need and sort of like extract and mine again resources of us and leave. And so I'm working with a group on getting a grant. We'll know in a couple of days if we got the grant, so that we can instill that within our community and train people within the community so that then they're all researchers and can run their own, decide what do we want to research, what do we want to know for ourselves. So Indian Health Board, so NAC, so American Indian Family Center in St. Paul, so all of these groups can stand for themselves and serve our community from within, because I believe our solutions are here. We can't really count on somebody else to help us find those. And we've been doing that since forever. This has been a lifetime, I think.
Well, yeah, you say, I think we're also seeing who's really important and who's not important or to be working. And when we have billionaires wanting people to go back to work beforehand and people protesting that are affiliated with the KKK around the governor's mansion, we're finding out what's important, what's not important during this. And I think we all need to keep our eyes open, because things are going to change. And what do you think, Robert?
No, I agree 100% in that it's a weird opportunity, right? To suddenly be at home for months and months. And we're in a crisis, and I get that, but I'm the type of person that always thinks there are opportunities in crisis. And I think we're finding some. And we talked a little about this, Robert, over the weekend, that Native people, it's not just that resilience and kind of buoyancy, but it's the relationships. There's a lot going on in Indian country, and especially urban Indian country. And you have, you know, such a good representation of the urban Indian community here today. But where we can emerge stronger from this isolation. I know at my own organization, Native American Community Development Institute, NACDI, you know, we've got laser focused all of a sudden. We've really seen the value of our networks now that we're not actually physically in community like we were. And NACDI just thrives in community. We're of community. Community is, you know, in our offices. We're out in the community all the time. And so now that we have these established networks, even if we can't be face-to-face, we can still work together and work in community. And so we're actually kind of growing. We've added staff at NACDI. We have a lot more public sector partnerships with MnDOT, with Minnesota Department of Health. Sherry knows we've been doing some work in the urban communities that's funded by Minnesota Department of Health to reach out specifically to the urban Indian community. So we're finding those resources and we're putting them to work.
Yeah, that's totally awesome. I'm wondering, you know, I just had House Representative Mary Kunush Podine send me a little thing. Are we able to play that a little audio segment?
Yeah, let me get that. Let me send that over to our tech guy over at the station.
Cool. Let's go then, while we're doing that, let's go to Sherry and your response to what Robert said, and Beverly.
Well, I think Robert, you know, I don't know how much more I can add to that other than I think that to both what both Beverly and Robert said, talking about our resiliency, and it's really a miracle that we're still here, but not surprising, if I could say both in the same hand, you know, that our people are creative and, you know, getting the messaging across to our communities. I worry when it comes to messaging our community. And, you know, thankfully we have people in places that really are looking out for our community. You know, Robert being one of them, Robert Lilligren, you know, sitting on the Met Council, and, you know, we have some really great connections, you know, with our government agencies, from the city all the way on up to the governor's office, that really do care about us as a people, and they do care about our resiliency and seeing our people thrive. And so right now I see us really leveraging those resources as we move forward, and really, really looking out for those that are not able to speak for themselves, and making their voice very prevalent in the work that we do. And, you know, I sit on a board and was part of the steering committee in the development of the National Urban Indian Family Coalition. And one of the phrases that we use, and it's a coined phrase that began with this organization, is making our invisible visible. And I think every single one of you sitting here today and all those out in the community, we really, really, really pushed that, you know, and that's been the fight for us for, beyond hundreds of years, you know, fighting for our rights and fighting for our values, fighting for our cultural, you know, our rights, you know. And I'm really, really honored to walk shoulder to shoulder with everybody in the work that we do, and, you know, working with, Robert and the MUD group, and, you know, SIA. We have some brilliant people at the wheel, and, you know, the heartbeat of that is really the people that we work with and their voice, and giving us that momentum, and, you know, giving us that beat, you know, to what we do every single day. So, you know, kind of living here right now in this COVID experience, you know, it is worrisome. And I think that, you know, I mean, if I could drive one message, you know, Robin and I are doing a lot of work with MDH, Minnesota Department of Health. And, you know, I'm just going to say, you know, people need to be careful. You see the roadways getting busier. You walk, I won't even go into Walmart. I mean, it terrifies me right now. And so I'm picking the little tiny little grocery stores and looking for my supplies, but telling our people, really, you know, our native communities, to stay home. I mean, I worry for our elders and I worry for our people. So, you know, just really keep an eye on the MUD website. SIA's got a new website coming up here in literally days. We're just waiting for it to drop. And the messaging that's coming out regarding COVID and how to, you know, social distance and stay in touch with people. So we really have some great platforms. And so hopefully I'm kind of just talking on here. So I'm
That's beautiful. I also, every time I see Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, I want to thank her because she looks like my students, and she's doing a great job, and she's breaking the glass ceiling. So when you were speaking earlier, Sherry, just about the leaders and that, she comes to mind all the time. And I know she's had some hardships this last year, really, with her father and then her brother, just to give her a shout out, because I think it's really important for us as natives to see people out front that we can do those things. And and she's always putting out great messages about COVID and her family. And that's a good reminder. So go ahead, Jamie. I interrupted you.
No, that's okay. I was going to. I was just going to say, we're going to take a little short break and then come back. Let's continue this conversation. We have amazing leadership in the Lieutenant Governor's office, and I can get in, share a little bit about what's been happening with tribal leadership during this period of time. So we're going to take a short break. Be right back.
Hau matake yape, buju, hanach hini karagiwi. This is Representative Mary Kunish Podine, and I have an important message for you. 3 years ago, I introduced legislation to create a task force to study the missing and murdered Indigenous women of Minnesota. Last year, that bill was passed with the support of the community, and Governor Walz signed it into law. With a variety of partnerships, the full task force has made great progress. Unfortunately, due to the pandemic, we are not able to hold public forums and community listening sessions in order to build a robust report and define actions. If you or someone you know would like to share their personal story of a missing or murdered loved one, we have extended the listening period to May 18, 2020. You can do this by phoning your testimony to 651-280-2661 or emailing it to MMIW Task Force, that's MMIWTASKFORCE, at wilder.org. Comments can also be submitted through the Office of Justice Programs page on the Department of Public Safety website, which is dps.mn.gov. Please know that your information will be held sacred and private. We hope you are safe and well. Wopala Tonka, Che Megwich.
Yes, I mean, just speaking of leadership, and there's another example with Representative Kunish Podine, and of course we have Jamie Becker Finn, Leech Laker, and to have Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan in office, we're uniquely in a good position from a Native leadership perspective. And a lot of us, you know, do the work that we do in community, and our tribal leaders, 11 federally recognized tribes in the state, are also hard at it, trying to, you know, collectively make our way through this challenging period of time. So do we want to share some of the interesting things, that ways that we've been coping? Because I think humor has always been an amazing gift and opportunity for us to it's a part of that resiliency, you know, being able to laugh at tough times and, you know, remember, you know, how even with the craziness that's happening, you know, we're still, those of us are on the line. I mean, we may have asymptomatic reality here, but for the most part, there's a lot of blessings that are still all around us. So
I just want to
amazing weather that we had this last weekend.
Yeah, it's going to get cold this week, but this is not a weather show. I just got to say, Mary Kunish Podine does a segment on my Native Roots radio show, and she's on the symposium every week. And I just can't say enough for our politicians too. And I'm just blessed, and I think we're blessed to have them, and we got to put more people out in front. So
one of the things that I think we sometimes it's easy to overlook, because they might not be in positional with titles of leadership, but our youth leaders are incredibly gifted. They're organizing in community. They're standing up for what they believe. And in some ways, some of the challenges that their predecessors have struggled with, they don't struggle with. So they see a lot of opportunity that has been not necessarily the first noticeable thing for older generations. And I just really am very impressed. I used to be concerned, like, were our youth guided well? Were they going to lead well? But they are clear and they're committed. And it really is very, for me, I'm very impressed with what I see. And it's not like I keep hearing people say, well, we've got to wait. They've got to wait their turn. You know, they're here now. They're smart now. They already are leaders. So it's not like it has to be developed. They're incredible.
Yeah, and I think it's up to us to support them. It's funny, Madonna was saying last night that she was really worried about that. And then all of a sudden they came, and I don't know if that was from Standing Rock or what, but there are a lot of young, good leaders out there right now, and how we can support them is stand behind them, is what she said. And it's just like, wow, Sherry.
Yeah, well, you know what? They really have a vision. And I know that Indah Young Center has been working closely with a lot of our Native youth. Robert, you know a lot of those youth in the community, and so do you, Robert Lilligren. Two Roberts. I'll call you Pilot, and I'll call him Robert. You know, and we met with our young people, you know, over this last summer, and creating an intergenerational advocacy group. And I've talked to Beverly about it too. And we're really excited to get that off the ground and running. And that comes right from our young people, their vision in building this advisory council to speak to MUD, to speak to SIA, to speak to the Urban Indian Affairs Council, to speak to the governor's office. I mean, they want to track, you know, they're trying to figure out a way to get their voice heard directly in. And I think that's coming from our young people, the same ones that were delivering the cease and desist to the sheriff's office in Hennepin County, the same youth that, you know, I mean, they've been doing some phenomenal things over the last couple of years and have actually led us, you know, to wake up, you know, so.
Yeah, really good point, and really a lot of great work. I know Travis years ago worked with a lot of those young warriors and with Enda Young, and yeah, good point.
Yeah.
I had a chance to interview on my show, so I have the Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy show that airs at 6 p.m. We're going to have a show tonight. It's been pre-recorded because that's the kind of space we're living in. But I had a chance to interview young artist that I'm sure everyone on the line here is familiar with, Keto, Ruben Keto Stately. And what an amazing young man, not only just from an art perspective, but his perspective as a Ojibwe Dakota person and you know, really having, you know, good set of values and, you know, really wise beyond his years. And it was really cool to see. And, you know, my daughter's, you know, she's been impressing me for so long. So it's good to see these young people stepping up and you know, taking on those leadership roles.
Yeah, even small things like one of my daughters is doing Ho-Chunk language over Facebook. And it's not only to give that knowledge out, that language out, to people, but to herself, to her learn it, you know. Barry Hand once told me that if I want to learn a language, replace it with one word each day and don't ever use that word, English word, again. And I was like, wow, that's really good advice. So I try to say Pini Gigi all the time. What do you think, Robert? I know you're a father and you were real big in language too.
No, I'm not a great speaker. My dad really wasn't. He was very humble about his ability, but man, could he speak. But just to really lift up this idea of the next generation and just looking at this group, I'm guessing I'm one of the oldest, if not the oldest person on this program today. But to see these young people who have a much clearer idea of who they are, where they come from, their languages, their practices. It's gratifying to me where I am in sort of the generational trajectory, and I can only imagine for people of our parents' generation how rewarding that is. And also to lift up, Jamie, what you were saying about artists. And, you know, my day job at NACDI, we own and operate All My Relations Arts Gallery, and we have a strong network of Native artists, contemporary Native artists, and a lot of them, their livelihoods have just crashed because of the pandemic response. They've lost exhibition opportunities, speaking opportunities, and so we've really tried to retool our programming so we're getting direct support into Native artists, getting dollars into their pockets. We have a mask making initiative with artists going on right now. We have a couple things coming up this summer pretty fast. One is working with Minnesota Department of Transportation, MnDOT, around some visioning for the site where the Wall of Forgotten Natives was. That's MnDOT property, and so we'll be convening artists and community around that. And then also with Hennepin Theater Trust, that program Hennepin Avenue, and they have all these venues, electronic billboards and things, mural opportunities, projections, and we'll likely get something up and running this summer yet downtown, and hopefully, with Indigenous Peoples Day in October, maybe some sort of a splash there. But really finding, and again, this is in some ways an outcropping of the pandemic, you know, to have the time to build these relationships with these public agencies, to get them to realize that there are people here at the street level, the grassroots level, and really to help large non-native institutions and agencies engage directly with the local community. Very rewarding, especially around art, especially around young people.
Oh, that's really exciting to hear. That's really good news. And again, that's the hard work that everybody on this panel does besides me. But it's amazing. And Jamie, you were going to talk a little bit before we went to break about what's happening in Indian country here in Minnesota with the tribes, with the 11 tribes.
Well, I mean, again, tribes are dealing with this, you know, from their post as leaders of governments in their communities, and creating, you know, these plans and strategies to try to battle this pandemic, in conjunction with you know, the leadership that we mentioned earlier, that we're blessed to have at this time with Lieutenant Governor and others. And, you know, everything from, you know, what happens, you know, as the governor's stay-at-home order is implemented, now it's been extended, you know, discouraging folks from, you know, stay-at-home means stay-at-home. Little nervousness, definitely from tribal leaders up north in particular, with a lot of folks wanted to go back to those cabins and, you know, engage in fishing and outdoor recreational activities. And, you know, some concern about what that might mean in terms of spreading, you know, this virus. And so those are the kind of challenges, some of the challenges, along with you were mentioning, Beverly, about the, you know, research and, you know, native-based research and researchers is something it makes me always, when I hear that, I always think about John Poupart and the great work that he's done over the years. And right now, tribes are working in collaboration, in government-to-government fashion, with the Department of Health on really trying to develop tribally specific models to see how, you know, in the unfortunate case of you know, these cases emerging in reservation communities, you know, how that spread is, and trying to model based on that. And I think it's the challenge is, you know, however, without a lot of infections, a lot of testing happening, it's hard to build a model. And that was something that was shared by these, you know, really sharp individuals. You know, you have to, Minnesota Department of Health is some very, very talented folks. And, you know, their tribal counterparts are also, we also have very talented folks that are doing work in Indian country and getting folks together. And then there's been collaboration with the University of Minnesota and the Mayo Clinic, trying to increase the amount of tests that can get into community and getting folks tested. Because until that happens, we're not going to really have a good picture. So all that stuff is going on, but I liked moving in another direction. I'd like the conversation about, you know, creativity and the ways in which, you know, we are adapting. And if anyone has ideas or recommendations for folks out there, you know, I think mental health issues and, you know, depression, I saw something really disturbing. It wasn't disturbing. I think it was more of a reminder, you know, it just really letting folks know, hey, if you're struggling right now, that's okay. This is a very challenging time. We've never faced anything like this. And, you know, don't be hard on yourself, but, you know, definitely seek out those resources that can help you get through this. And I know some folks are doing some really cool creative stuff. So it was good to hear what you were talking about, Robert. I'm doing my own creative stuff musically and in other ways. And I know Sherry with Ade Young over there, you're probably having an opportunity to get those young people involved in creative activities. And those are good things.
I think there's a I'm sorry. Sorry, Sherry.
I was just going to quickly say something to that. You know, at Inda Young Center, we're really banking on social media. We use it a lot. We're using it for FaceTime. You talk about the mental health issues. Our youth are really isolated. And using social media right now and using your FaceTime on your phone is so critical if they're dealing with depression, and being able to call someone and have that face-to-face. We're also using Facebook Live, and you know, we're using the Zoom for, you know, to have social time with our young people. And so I just wanted to say to that.
Yeah, go ahead, Bob.
I think if there was a couple of messages that I would send to the community, one is that mutual aid is traditional. For us, it's a natural way that we reach across within our family and within our larger Native family and within our larger community family. We have always been very generous, and we have always been very concerned. Our empathy is sky high. And so in many ways, I see how this distancing is tough for us, because we're used to connecting in lots of different ways. And physically, it's hard to be traditional and have our ceremonies when we can't be near each other. But we're really clever, and I know that this mutual aid can continue. And I just want everyone to know that it is tradition. It's part of who we are and have always been. And the other thing is, while staying at home has not been a privilege that's accessible to everyone in our community, and some jobs were considered essential without being treated as important, without being treated as equitable, I think it's really important for us to really notice that now that we know which jobs actually are essential and who is required to be there, remember that that means you're important. And that means that we needed you all along, no matter how that has been treated. That is super, I think, a scenario that needs to continue to have impact across all classes and across all communities. So that's just, I guess that's the couple of things that I noticed that I think is really important.
I think that's huge, Beverly. I'm glad that you brought that up. And I think it kind of reminds me of sort of a global dynamic that reflects what happened 2 years ago with the Wall of Forgotten Natives, where all of a sudden invisible people with invisible issues and challenges became painfully visible. And we saw the failure of our systems right there, and nobody could deny it. And so people were willing to respond in a different way. And there was a compassionate, people-centered response that looked at our relatives living at the wall as people and the complex issues that we had to address. And so I think there's a national and global moment here when we see how inequitable the impacts of the pandemic are. That didn't just happen now because there's a virus. That is systemic, and that is huge. And also lift up, Beverly, what you said about sort of adapting our ways. Tonight at 6:30, I will be part of a Zoom pipe ceremony. I'll be participating in a pipe ceremony by Zoom. One of my coworkers is having surgery tomorrow, and so there'll be a pipe ceremony in her honor. And we'll see how it goes. There's been Elder Guidance Weekly now for MUD leadership and MUD organizations, where it's very Indigenous. Care for yourself first, your family, and then your community. And I think we're having this opportunity to really show how Indigenous ways can be the answer to a lot of things, a lot of challenges that we face, not just for us, but for the broader community.
Yeah, I agree. We're learning a lot about who's essential. I try to spit that out, but earlier, and we know one of the things I want to say real quick is the American Indian Month has a Facebook, and there's going to be other things going on the rest of the month, like weekly bingo and some trivia and things like that. And so stay tuned and get on to the Facebook American Indian Month in Minnesota 2020. And it's going to be fun. And I think what Sherry was saying and everyone was saying, it's been Beverly, it's been really fun to to, other than all the Zoom work stuff, it's been fun to connect with people. We have family in New York that we did a Zoom with, and it was just like almost a Saturday Night Live thing where it's like, is this on? And everyone's like, oh, you know. So it's really fun and a higher a learning curve. Jamie, what do you think about
I just wanted to also remind folks that we are going to be continuing our American Indian Month programming throughout the month on Mondays and Saturdays, on Mondays from 2 to 4 and Saturdays from 3 to 5. So you'll probably be hearing some, or if not all, of our voices moving forward as we celebrate American Indian Month in, you know, very unique, very different environment that we're in now. But it's very cool, you know, and it's hard. I mean, again, you know, there's death all around us, right? Unfortunately, potentially. And I really, you know, if my mask was close, I would put that on just for the symbolism of that. And you know, folks are dealing with this in their own way, but thank you, Robert. I appreciate that. You know, me and Robert have exchanged, you know, packages, you know, early on in this. And it really is important for you to, you know, really pay attention to the advice that's being shared about, again, social distancing. If you can wear a mask, that's more ideal. Stay away from large crowds and protect yourself. That's important, but also protect others. You know, just because you don't feel any symptoms does not mean that you're not asymptomatic and can spread this virus. So
Jamie dropped me off some bread and some Fritos with chips. I was really jonesing, and I don't think we could go to the grocery store then. Peeny Geegee, Jamie.
So I think we got a couple minutes here. We're gonna wrap up. Any departing words or words to share, words of wisdom or prayer? I wish I had a good song that I could lace up, but
Mason's, you know, I'm just gonna jump in briefly, Jamie, if I may, and Sherry is very aware of this, but talking about this work with the Minnesota Department of Health, they gave us a little bit of money to Minneapolis, to St. Paul Indians in Action, to ACO in Duluth, to Bemidji. And so we're building a network of communications for the urban Indian populations across the state with the intent that this will endure beyond the pandemic and that we'll have a new way of collaborating across cities with the urban Indian populations. And that's what I mean about looking for opportunity during this crisis. So there are exciting things going on. There are opportunities.
Do you want to share a website or any information for folks that?
Yeah, thanks. Ours right now is mudmn.org, mudmn.org. We have a COVID tab. We're trying to get the information all in one place for our community and for our organizations. And so that's one spot to go, mudmn.org, mudmn.org.
All right. Anyone else? Departing words? I think we're right about to wrap up.
Well, I just want to thank everyone for spending time and giving their knowledge. Beverly, Jamie, Sherry, Robert Lilligren. This has been really, I'd like to do this again. This has been really nice. We could have gone on. And yeah, I just want to say Peeny Geegee to everybody.
Yes. Everyone be safe.
Happy Indian Month.
Yeah.
Hurt. So I start this earth with a heartbeat of Mother Earth. I say a prayer and put it down for what it's worth. For those who oppose it, only see color first. For my two sons, my daughter and wife, and the father of lights, I started the fight. Slaughtering mics, ready to die like a martyr tonight. With my fist in the sky, saying water is life. Hey, yo, it takes a nation and millions to hold this back. This is treaty land. We see these scams. Hey, yo, we know the facts. Evil collapses and cowers in fear. The hour is near. Let the world unite with the power of prayer. Yeah, our family rise, defy gravity. We gon' keep on rhyming and climbing and shine happily. A masterpiece. Put my whole body glistening. Hey, yo, we still here. Is there anybody listening?
We need a miracle. Spirit of the Ghost Day. Light up this prayer as a mind. Take it to the Most High. We
KPI.org.